Please be seated. What is the best way for a shepherd, a sheep owner, to move his sheep around? Now, if we're going to be 21st century people, we can't give a mundane answer like sheepdogs. Oh, no. There's a trend that's taking place in many parts of the world where sheep owners are actually controlling their sheep with drones. Yes, aerial drones. Look it up on Google. Look for the videos. They have these drones by which they say that they save a lot of time and money by using the drones instead of manpower to control their sheep. There's one New Zealand rancher who says that it saves him and his men a lot of time on horseback and four-wheelers to move the sheep around on his 200-acre ranch using this custom-made drone. And he says that the sheep are still scared enough of this little robotic menace that they'll actually go where he wants them to go. Now, some might say that this new trend is a little bit impersonal, and it's just another indication of how technology and machines are taking over our lives. Others say it's the inevitable march forward of progress. Either way, sheep owners, shepherds, have to care for their sheep. Now, we've been hearing this week in chapel about our good shepherd, about our Lord Jesus. And today, our text is part of an address by St. Paul to some men who sometimes are called under-shepherds, namely pastors. These men have been put in their position by the good shepherd so that we can be cared for as part of God's flock, as part of the church. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 20. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each of you with tears. Thus far the text. Providing these under-shepherds, you see, is one way that God provides for his flock. Now, part of the reason that God provides so well for his flock is that we were very expensive to buy. We're part of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Yes, we have been purchased by Jesus to belong to him, to belong to God. Jesus, the very Lamb of God, shed his blood as the perfect and sinless sacrifice, and he bought you with that blood. That's what Peter writes about in his first letter when he says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Even the most valuable things on this earth were not a sufficient price to pay for you. For you, Jesus' blood was the only price, the only sufficient price that God would accept. Indeed, God demands that there be a payment for sin. He doesn't want money or other earthly treasures. He demands death. He demands blood. Why do you think all of those animals were sacrificed back in Old Testament times? Yes, they were all pointing forward to the one great sacrifice, but they all had to die because God demands death for sin. You see, it really just traces back to what God said in the garden. He told Adam and Eve that they were not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He told them that in the day that you eat of it, you will die. So yes, very simply, sin demands death. And since according to Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood, that meant a blood sacrifice was necessary to pay the penalty for sin, for our sin, for the sin of the world. And only God's blood could be sufficient to cover the sins of the entire world. And that's why Jesus, as the God-man, had to die. The flock had to be protected. It had to be saved. You see, there are all sorts of things that attack the flock. Now, granted, many of the attacks that we face as sheep in God's flock come at us from within, from our own minds. Think of it. We come up with all sorts of wonderful ideas about how to run our lives, how to do things in our lives, and they only end up getting us into more and more trouble. And yes, there are attacks that come at us from the outside. That's what Paul was talking about when he warns about the savage wolves that would attack God's people. Specifically, he says that men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Now, we know that this happened in Ephesus. Those pastors to which Paul was speaking in this text are the Ephesian pastors. And we know that after he left, the savage wolves did come in. He mentions in 1 Timothy, in talking about Ephesus, that the people were getting carried away with myths and endless genealogies. And in the letter to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, Jesus chides them for abandoning the love they had at first. It's clear that Paul was right in warning the Christians at Ephesus. The wolves were working hard to attack with their false doctrines. But we don't have to look that hard to see that the wolves are still hard at work today. How many church bodies in this world actually believe that the Bible is God's word and that it is true? How many believe that Jesus is God, that he was born of a virgin, that he performed all sorts of miracles of healing and hope, that he went to the cross and paid for the sins of the entire world, that he was raised from the dead, that he's going to come back on the last day to judge the world? Now, I'm not pointing all of those things out to talk about how pious and holy and perfect we conservative Lutherans are. We know that we're far from perfect. And even when we look at ourselves as individuals, what sort of deviant doctrines do we have in our heads? Do we really believe that by nature, the way that we are born, we are deserving of hell? Or do we think that we're not as bad as all of those really evil people in the world? Do we really believe that people who don't believe in Jesus as their Savior, who maybe have never heard of Jesus, are actually going to hell when they die? Or do we believe that God is going to bring all people into heaven? Do we really believe that all the things that our society, our culture say are okay, truly are? Do we go along with what our culture says is acceptable in this world of immorality? Indeed, sometimes those wolves are howling pretty loudly within our own brains, drowning out our shepherd's voice. But God provides for us, his sheep. In the waters of our baptism, he washed away our sin through the blood of Jesus that he shed, the same blood that purchased us as his own. He gives us food. He gives us the very body and blood of the Lamb of God to eat and to drink, to strengthen us, to strengthen us against those attacks of the wolves, whether they're coming from within or from without. He gives us his word. His word which overpowers the howling of the wolves and gives us life in Jesus. And he gives us pastors who bring all of these incredible means of grace to us. Be confident in this life, knowing that God has you in his care. You are in the best protected flock ever. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, great shepherd of us sheep, we thank and praise you for making us part of your flock and for sustaining us as your sheep. As we walk through this world surrounded by wolves, protect us and keep us through your word and sacraments and through your blessed presence with us. Help us to be ever attentive to your word, so that we listen only to you for direction in life. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.